outdoor tools and toys for every hunting excursion. Gear up at the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Now, time for the show. Here's your host of the Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Jackson Ellis. He is the Hunter Safety Coordinator with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, amongst other things. Good morning, Jackson. How you doing, bud?
Good morning. Good to be back, Rick.
How many hats do you wear?
That is a very good question. Some hats are bigger than others, but there's a few of them.
But from the hunter safety standpoint, thankfully you're there. That's a good thing. You know, we're getting into the... We've already got hunting seasons going, but with the firearms rifle season for deer, that's really when people start thinking about it. And... you know, the hunting seasons typically means that you got firearms in use. So, first of all, let's cover the basic rules.
You bet. So, yeah, like you said, you know, there's already a lot of hunters out in the field, but this rifle season is the big one. It's when everybody gets out. So, you know, we've got, there's about 8 to 10 firearm rules that we talk about in Hunter Ed, but there's 4 big ones, okay? First and foremost for me is muzzle control. Where's that firearm pointed? Always pointed in a safe direction, regardless if you know it's unloaded, know it's loaded, you know, always keep them pointed in a safe direction. You know, that bullet's going to travel where the muzzle's pointed. So even if there's some sort of, you know, mishap, if that's pointed in a safe direction, everybody's going home at the end of the day. You know, second is trigger control. You know, keeping your finger out of the trigger guard and off the trigger until you've identified your target and are ready to shoot. You know, most modern firearms, they're not going to go off unless that trigger is activated. You know, and second, I kind of mentioned it there, is identify your target and what lies beyond it. Making sure that when you're sighted on something, you know, really before you even pull that gun up, you should have that species identified, and then make sure that it is of the correct you know, item for your tag, basically, if you got a doe tag or a buck tag or either sex tag. I'm talking deer here. And then, you know, finally, we treat every gun like it's loaded. I kind of alluded to that at the first one, too, but, you know, even firearms that you know are unloaded, or while you're cleaning your firearms, that can be incredibly, you know, important as well. But we always treat those firearms like they're loaded and could go off.
And just thinking about what you said, 3 of the 4 and Alec Baldwin would not have a problem.
Yep, that's a complicated situation there, but no, you're absolutely right. You're 100% right. And actually, you know, a lot of the statistics, if you look, we publish our hunter incident report every year. That's part of my job. That's publicly available. And if you look at those incidences, they can oftentimes be boiled down to those four, you know, one of those four rules.
Exactly.
Yep.
Who needs hunter education in Nebraska?
So hunter education is required in Nebraska for a group, an age group. So it's not a born on or after year, it's an age group. So if you're between the ages of 12 and 29, hunting with a firearm, muzzleloader, air gun, you're going to need firearm hunter education. If you're between the ages, same age group, 12 through 29, hunting with a bow and arrow or crossbow, you'll need bow hunter education.
Okay. Is there any caveats, like for returning military veterans, do they have a way to become hunter safety certified? I mean, especially somebody out of a combat situation, they know how to... I'm not worried about them behind me with a weapon, I guess, is what I'm going to say.
I completely understand the sentiment. In Nebraska, we do not have an exemption for military at this point. There are a couple of states that do, but right now that's not in state law.
What about online versions of doing that? Can they do it online?
Yes. Yep. We make it, you know, fairly accessible in Nebraska. We have a couple of different options for getting hunter education, depending on what certificates you need, what age group you fall into. But adults or anyone 16 and older can always take it online. It's an online only program. It's an adult program. And then we also, you know, pre-COVID, we've changed some things since, but pre-COVID, youth would take a youth version of the online course and then have to come in for a 2-hour hunt safe session to get that certificate. Due to COVID, we have waived that, so now the youth are taking the adult version of our course as well. And so that's the system right now for anybody who wants to take hunter education online. But we also have our in-class courses available. They've been rolling out this whole last year. So
now, with the seasons being as close as they are, is there still time for somebody to take a hunter ed course before the hunting season actually comes?
Absolutely.
And
our in-class courses are we've kind of reached our peak, if you will, and so at this point, if you still haven't gotten hunter education at this point, there are some classes going on this weekend and next week during the week, but your best chance at this point, unless you're lucky enough to be in one of those areas, is going to be the online course, or we have what's called the apprentice exemption certificate.
That was my next question. You're good.
Yeah, you betcha, you betcha. So we also have what's called the Apprentice Exemption Certificate, and that can be utilized by someone. It's a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. They can, it's a $5 add-on to their permits, and then it allows them to hunt without hunter education, but they have to be directly supervised at all times by a licensed adult. So that applies to adults, youth, really anyone in that 12 to 29 age group. They can utilize that. Like I said, once in a lifetime. It expires at the end of the year. And then if they're serious about wanting to hunt, they'll need to get hunter education for the future.
That's perfect for a hunter-mentor type setup.
Absolutely. And that's the idea. You know, the idea, you know, maybe a neighbor's son or daughter or something like that, you know, you get approached and maybe time doesn't allow for hunter education, or they're not sure they want to take that full investment in time. And so they can get out, experience the hunt, and hopefully, you know, next year they'll be like, well, time to get hunter ed, and we're going to do the dang thing.
Now, did we actually have any firearms-related injuries in, like, 2020, 2019?
We did. Here, I can pull up my report if you'd like me to. But we had, I believe, 4 incidences in 2020. Two of those were tree stand related. I know that off the top of my head.
I was going to touch on that with you too, because that.
Sure.
I've written an article and I said, and the most dangerous thing in the woods is not an animal. It's not another person. It's not your weapon. It's a tree stand.
Yes. Statistics would say that you're pretty close there. There are quite a few, especially when you compile everything across the nation. There are quite a few tree stand incidents every year.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, there's several states that tree stand accidents account for more injuries than any other element of hunter safety.
I would imagine if you were looking at like each individual one and not as a group, yeah, I would say that's probably true.
Okay.
Yep.
So the accidents that we had in Nebraska, I'm going to guess that maybe more of them involve shotguns, and it's probably not keeping track of where your partners are.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Part of the report that I publish every year is not only a recap of what happened, what each incident was from that year, but also historical data. We break down it, you know, to the type of firearm and a couple of the different graphs. And so, yeah. No, you're right. The biggest thing is oftentimes swinging on game or some incident like that that is usually involving shotguns.
Right. But, losing track of where your partners are, and you're tracking that bird, you pull the trigger and then realize your partner's 20 yards downrange of that.
Correct, yep. And that also comes down to, you know, communication, making sure that you plan, you know, your hunt, your drive. And that everybody sticks to that and communicates as well. Communication and safety and blaze orange are the number one factors there.
Good point, blaze orange. How much do you have to wear?
Sure. So for this 9-day November firearm season, for muzzleloader hunters in December and then also our January rifle season, hunters have got to be wearing 400 square inches of blaze orange
minimum
on their chest, head, and back. So, you know, people ask, well, how much is 400 square inches? Do I need to break out the tape measure? And the answer is no. If you're wearing a vest and a hat, you're covered. You're good to go.
Yeah. I have it's an entire jacket, and it's, I've adopted that a few years back. I found a good bargain on a nice insulated jacket that it's all blaze orange.
Yep. So my dad looks like a pumpkin out there. It's the bibs, the jacket, the hat. It's kind of a camouflage orange, and Nebraska allows what's referred to as broken orange or
right.
camouflage orange. He stands out for sure. But you know, for those who aren't aware, blaze orange is not picked up by deer. The rods and the cones in the deer's eyes, the way that they operate, blaze orange just basically looks like a muted gray to a deer.
Yep, that's what they say.
Yep. I can attest. I've had deer walk past within spitting distance. And as long as the wind's right, they're not going to see you.
That movement, yeah.
Well, yes. Movement's a big one.
Yeah, if your dad's doing jumping jacks out there, the deer are probably going to see him.
They are probably going to see. And you know what? On some cold days, he might.
That is true. you mentioned archery earlier, what are the specifics that we need for the archery safety education?
Yep. So again, the same age group, 12 to 29, and our bow hunter education certificate. So Nebraska is a state that requires a separate and specific bow hunter education certificate. So anybody hunting with a bow and arrow, whether it's a longbow, recurve, crossbow, compound bow, we've got to have bow hunter education if you're between the ages of 12 and 29.
I know when I first got to Nebraska and started hunting, I went through the hunter ed programs at the time. And no comments, Tristan, about that was back with flintlocks.
you read my mind.
Yeah, read. But when my sons were coming through it, I went back through it with them, not only, you know, to support, you know, your child going through with you. It was a good refresher and a chance to get, you know, just learn what's new, maybe updated, but also for me, I hunt out of state, so there are many states that require hunter safety regardless of your age, and you have to produce that to be able to hunt there.
That's right. You know, we have adults going through our class every year, you know, adults into their 60s, 70s, even 80s, and for a multitude of reasons. You know, you basically laid them out there. One, they come to the hunter ed class with their kids, and they're like, you know, this is a great program, and I might as well take the test and get certified while I'm here. And then we also have, you know, like you said, people going out of state. A lot of the surrounding states have what we refer to as a born on or after date.
Right.
And so basically we're getting to the point where everybody needs hunter ed when you travel to those states.
I'm hearing music in the background. That's Tristan's way of telling me we're time to do a commercial. So we're going to step away, and I got a couple more questions for you when we get back, Jackson. So hang with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Calling all hunters, young and old, novice or pro, the Minnow Bucket of North Platte has all the specialty hunting items you want and need this fall, including rifle and archery, arrows and ammo, scent killer, drags and decoys. Don't forget scopes and rangefinders. Ask TJ about custom reloading, scope mounting, and rifle sighting. Coming soon, 2-week European mount turnaround times. Wow! Buy from a professional and find it all under one roof. Stop by the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South at Jeffers in North Platte. Then go hunt.
The Country Oldies Show.
Hi again, Steve Warren here, assembling another Country Oldies Show for your listening pleasure with Brooks and Dunn, also Restless Heart, Leroy Parnell, and a whole lot more. And you know what? It's all free, and it's all right here.
The Country Oldies Show. Tune in Sunday mornings, 8 to 11 Central, on today's best country, Husker Radio's KX104. Tune in online at huskerradio.com.
Miller Repair in Maxwell has a Bush Hog mower for any job. Bush Hog mowers are tough and reliable with years of performance. Choose from flex wing mowers with heavy duty jobs, single and double spindle for home or commercial use, and zero turn mowers with decks ranging from 5 feet to 10 feet to get the job done right. See the entire line of Bush Hog mowers and zero turn mowers at Bush Hog and Miller Repair in Maxwell. Names you can trust. On the web at millerrepair.com.
Let us remember all the sacrifices made by our military so that we could have a safer life. No amount of appreciation will be sufficient enough to honor them. This Veterans Day message is brought to you by your friends at Ogallala Ag Supply, carrying the full line of livestock handling equipment on Highway 61, Ogallala.
Here's your forecast on Newstalk, 1250 AM and 106.1 FM. Mainly sunny today, high is 73. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 35. Sunny on Saturday, high near 74. Saturday night, clear to partly cloudy, low 37. High is 70 on Sunday, lots of sunshine. Sunday night, mainly clear, low near 36. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport, with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Back to the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket. For every hunting excursion, gear up at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Jackson Ellis this morning with the Game and Parks, Hunter Education Coordinator for the Game and Parks. When we left there, Jackson, we were talking about, you know, adults going through hunter ed along with, you know, like in my case, I went with my sons, others do it for various reasons. And we talked about those hunter ed cards being accepted in other states. How many states do that?
So basically all 50 states. All 50 states are what's part of a group called the International Hunter Education Association. And basically what that group does is they set the standards that all states agree to teach, and that allows reciprocity across all 50 states. All the Canadian provinces, Mexico, Guam, there's a couple others. So it's a pretty neat group to be a part of.
Very good. That's something new. The last time I had asked about it or looked into it, I was thinking there were two states, Alaska and maybe Vermont, that didn't have a hunter ed program, but, you know, they accepted what we had.
Yep. There are a couple of states where it's a little different. I know Arizona... they're a little bit different, and they kind of treat residents and non-residents a little bit differently for hunter education, and it's more of an optional thing.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, every state's a little bit different, but if they require hunter education and teach hunter education, they are part of the IHEA, and so yeah.
Once you get your hunter education passed and you get a card, and then you fall out of your canoe and lose your wallet and whatever else, how do you get a new card?
Sure. So anymore, it's very easy. It's all done online, electronically. So basically, once you do hunter education, based off of the registration that you filled out, we create you a permitting profile on our website, or if you've already bought permits and have a permitting profile that matches that hunter ed registration, it'll automatically go into that account, and you can print it off at every time, or any time. We used to have a $5 reprint fee, so the first time was free, and then it was $5 to reprint if you didn't save it on your computer. We've since waived that, so you can reprint that as many times as you'd like.
I got to go look at my profile. I'm sure it's in there. I just need to look.
If for some reason someone goes onto their permitting profile and they don't see it under the blue Hunter Ed tab, but they did take the course in Nebraska, you know, give my office a call and we'll dig into why it's not showing up. Usually there's a typo in the name or the date of birth, or someone, you know, when you do hunter education, please use your legal name. Don't use a nickname. Don't condense your name or shorten it down. That causes problems. So, you know, it's a legal document. It's a government document. And so please use your legal name.
Tristan's wheels are turning again. He said, yeah, maybe when it went from parchment to actual electronic data.
Yeah, but we do. We've got a database that goes back to the 70s. There have been some missing records from time to time. That's just the nature of the beast. But we have actually kept pretty dang good records back to when hunter education started in 74.
We've got a few minutes left in the show. I'd like to go back and touch a little bit more on the tree stand safety, since that's such a big issue.
You bet.
And you and I were talking about that. I was working on a different article about tree stand safety, and we not only had some injuries, we had some fatalities, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, yes. Yep.
Yeah, you fall 20 feet out of a tree, it's probably not going to end well.
No, it's you generate a lot of force coming down that far.
I had one friend some years ago. he had put up his tree stand. He'd made sure that he had good access to it. And what the one thing he did not think about is if he did fall, where was it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it was a windstorm that actually caused his stand to shift position. And when he fell on an old harrow.
Oh, no.
And it was like falling into a punji pit. Man, he got harpooned in about 6 or 8 spots. Fortunately, nothing vital. He didn't hit any major arteries or major organs, but he was messed up for a little while.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he was, and he got lucky. Yep.
Yes, he did. Safety belts are another good one. Another friend did this. He was sitting up in a tree, you know, with his bow, nice morning, sun comes up, he warms up, and nodded out, went to sleep, and fell out of his tree stand.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, he just got a concussion, but some sore bumps and bruises, but nothing more serious than that.
Yeah, actually, when I was secondary education, that's the exact story that my the instructor that had my course had that same story. He broke both his ankles, basically did a full somersault out of the tree stand. But and then he got into teaching in bowhunter education for that exact reason.
What are some of the major reasons or high percentage reasons why there are tree stand accidents? What happens?
Sure. First and foremost is people not wearing fall arrest systems or safety harnesses. It's a full harness, goes over your chest, your shoulders, your hips, and if you were to fall, it's gonna break your fall, and you're not gonna continue your fall to the ground, basically. It's gonna keep you from getting terrible whiplash if you use it correctly. So those save lives. Those save more lives every year than we know about because an almost fall isn't reported.
Right.
So, those save untold number of lives every year. So that's first and foremost. And second is getting in and out of the tree stand. Most incidents don't happen from the tree stand. Most incidents happen on the ladder. So we recommend people use what's called a lifeline. So when you hang your tree stand, it's a line with a prussic knot, and you attach your harness as you know when you get to your tree stand, moving the knot with you along this rope. You conclude your hunt and you repeat the process going down. So you're attached to a rope from the time you leave the ground to the time you come back down.
And the knot that you're talking about, that is when you do fall and it tightens up, that acts as a brake.
Correct. It's a very neat knot in that, without pressure on the knot, it slides up and down the rope, and so you can ascend and descend. And then, if there were ever any time any pressure is applied to that knot, it locks to the rope that it's attached to.
You mentioned getting on and off the ladder part of the stand, and I ran across a statistic that it's in the high 70s, like 75-78% of the injuries occur when you're transitioning from the ladder to the stand or from the stand back to the ladder.
That's correct. Yep.
And some type of misstep occurs there.
Yep. Yep. With your with your ladder stands, it's not as big of a deal, but a lot of times this is usually referring to lock-ons or hang-on stands.
Right.
And so you need to actually have your ladder go past your tree stand up the tree so that you can climb past your ladder or your tree stand and then transition from above into the stand. That's kind of the big thing. We see people that want to get that stand as high as they possibly can, and they're basically trying to climb up into the stand, and that's when accidents occur.
Yep. I some years ago, I finally realized I was mortal and a fall was going to hurt me. So I got rid of all my hang-on stands, and I've gone solely to ladder stands and ground blinds now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the ladder stands are so much safer.
They're safer in that they're much easier to hang. They're much easier to get in and out of. Yep. I still do use quite a few lock-on stands. And you just want to make sure that you're using them correctly, that you understand how to do it, that you're never in a rush to hang it. You know, take your time, take somebody with you to hang the stand. If you can, use a lineman's belt while you're hanging your stands, and even going up and down the tree if you don't have a lifeline. There's many things that you can do to make your situation as safe as possible.
You just defined part of my pack. I got the lineman belts, and I got the Kleins for climbing the pole, too.
Yep, absolutely.
The spike. I hear the music again. We're out of time, Jackson. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Another quick half hour.
Quick half hour. Appreciate you taking the time to be with me, and you'll be back again, I'm sure.
So, sounds like a plan. Anytime, Rick.
Okay, thanks much. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.